And welcome everybody to Off the Hook Overtime here on YouTube. But wait, before we actually begin the program, we have an official sound to play. Yes,
I would throw the dryer out there.
I'd throw it out the window too. But that is the official Off the Hook Overtime theme. Now I'm just curious: is YouTube going to flag us for that now? Because that's obviously in the public domain. This guy Odego, I realize now I played his channel to play that song because apparently he uploaded it, and. Only 131 views. Wow. How am I one of the few people that have played this? But that should not be flagged. That should be completely public domain. Anyway, here we are in overtime. Kyle, you seem to have made it okay.
Okay.
And Gila and Rob, you're there?
We are here.
Yep.
And Alex, where is he? I don't see him, but I guess it's audio only.
We have lost Alex for the evening.
We've lost Alex for the... What do you mean we've lost Alex? Wait a minute. Last I heard, he was on top of a roof of in Austin. What update me? What's going on?
He told us he had to go.
Okay. Well, it'd be nice to share that information in advance next time. We're going to talk with him later. I had a question to ask him, too. Damn. Okay. Well, our listeners are here. And welcome, listeners. You can give us a call at 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK is our phone number. I just wanted to go into this story a little bit more because apparently people live in real fear here on YouTube because, okay, this guy claimed that that song belonged to him, even though it did not. YouTube gave Albino a boilerplate response on Twitter saying, quote, "We understand how important it is for you. From your vid, it looks like you've recently submitted a dispute. When you dispute a content ID claim, the person who claimed your video, the claimant, is notified, and they have 30 days to respond." Now, this Albino guy expressed deep frustration at YouTube's response, given how egregious he considered the copyright abuse to be. He said... just wait for the person blatantly stealing copyrighted material to respond. Yeah, I'm sure they did this in good faith and will make the correct call. There would be a shame if they simply clicked reject dispute, took all the ad revenue money, and forced me to risk having my channel terminated to appeal it. Well, I didn't know that's how it worked. If you dispute being accused of something and you lose, you get penalized? You guys know anything about this?
The whole way in which the Content ID system works is kind of a lash together disaster, because functionally anybody can upload anything to the Content ID library, so to speak, and claim it as their own. And YouTube takes that as gospel until something is disputed and successfully disputed or otherwise proven wrong. But even a small channel with only a handful of viewers like this person can upload something and claim to own it and therefore automatically pull ad revenue from everything that involves it. There was a case some years ago with an artist called Hustalonia who made music in the public domain. Like everything this person released was automatically public domain material that anybody could use in any way. And somebody else uploaded that to Content ID and claimed it. And so this original artist who was encouraging everyone, yes, remix my work, do whatever, copy it freely. All those iterations of that work were then pulling ad money for this other person who had no right doing that.
So Rob, can you take this show that is being recorded now on YouTube and upload that to that magical place and claim it as ours? Because it is ours, we're doing it. But I'm just curious what the procedure is.
It's a very interesting question, and I would like to know more about it. If people who are deeper into this whole YouTube creative world, and maybe especially in terms of music, have experience with this, get in touch with us, write to us, oth@2600.com, or talk to us in the YouTube chat and let us know what your experiences have been.
Yeah, it seems there would be significant heft, like, to the kinds of creators that are on and use the YouTube system to collect on that successfully. Their influence would be tremendous in this situation. And my question would be, like, have they proven that this dispute system is capable of the volume and capable in itself to be equal or even handed in how those disputes are done? And, like, are they really that authoritative a body? Is there any transparency as to who is making these decisions or what the shape of it is? Or is there, they're just seriously just like a veil through, like, a very non-porous communication back and forth that really no one knows how it works or who or what they're talking to? That in and of itself to me shows the lack of integrity of the platform and where influencers might want to chime in.
Yeah, because it is a walled garden in the sense that we're talking about rights and disputes and stuff, but this is not a legal situation when it's within the confines of YouTube. This is YouTube's algorithms, YouTube's robots, flagging things, accepting complaints, just giving boilerplate responses, because the sheer volume of stuff uploaded to YouTube means that no human force could possibly contend, I think, with having to check these things manually. So basically they take everything uploaded as gospel and don't look deeper into it unless forced to by somebody either disputing the claim or getting the actual law involved. And, you know, it's otherwise at the mercy of and very vulnerable to bad actors like this person who uploaded the dryer chime and claimed it.
Right. Yeah. But I think this is also similar to something we've talked about in the past. Was last year, 2 years ago, when that piano teacher lady who got copyright claimed and had to take her whole...
Yeah, right? I remember that, yes.
And we were talking about it last week because of the guy with the picture in the wallpaper. And I said, are we sure this is really the dude who took the picture and not someone who's trying to exploit his work and copyright claim stuff that he really has no say over?
You know, there's no way to know. And if it's too much for humans to handle, then maybe humans shouldn't be doing it.
That tells you everything there, right?
They say that 99% of copyright actions on YouTube have consistently been triggered automatically through Content ID. That's YouTube saying this. 99%, that's an awful lot. And there's no way they can keep up with the appeals. And they even admit that they've seen widespread abuse of Content ID, terminating tens of thousands of accounts each year that attempt to abuse our copyright tools. YouTube also acknowledged in 2021 that just one invalid reference file in Content ID can impact thousands of videos and users, stripping them of monetization or blocking them altogether. Yeah.
I would say this might be an argument for creating content that is itself processed in a way that makes that fingerprinting harder. Like, you have to do something to disrupt the input to kind of hamstring the results we're getting if it's an out of control system, right?
Yeah. And this is why I really wish Alex hadn't bailed, because I want to ask him questions about this. You know, like, for instance, on YouTube, if you have a musical piece there that is just a musical piece and it's as good a sound quality as if you were to download it or get it from some site where you would normally buy it, that to me is a clear abuse. Now, oftentimes, for unknown reasons, record companies put music up on YouTube themselves. So, obviously, they want to promote it by not selling it sometimes. But in those cases where somebody else does that, yeah, I think that's a legitimate claim. Of course, the artist should have a say in that as well. But if something is simply detected in the background, who in God's name is going to say, hey, I'm gonna get some software together, download that video track from YouTube, edit out all the things around it, amplify the signal, and wait for the rest of the song to appear someplace else so I can save 89 cents. It's absurd. And that is how people are living their lives, thinking that, oh my God, this is going to be heard by the YouTube computers, and they're going to penalize me. I'm going to lose access or income or whatever else that you're depending on YouTube for. It's so unhealthy. And, you know, it's another thing that we just accept as reality. It doesn't have to be that way. Rob.
Talking of YouTube, I don't know if the machines are getting angry at us criticizing how they do things, but we are noticing some comments from our YouTube chat that our audio is starting to buffer and drop and things.
We had this problem yesterday on the other show, so there's something going on. I'm going to do a speed test of our internet connectivity. I'm getting an error saying YouTube.
Okay, you don't YouTube have to get
is,
personal.
YouTube is not receiving enough video to maintain smooth streaming. Well, guess what? We're not doing video at all. So YouTube, you should be able to handle the audio that we're sending across. I don't know what the problem is here. Let me work on this. You guys keep talking, and listeners, try and piece together what we're saying out of whatever you're hearing. Know that's a good copy of this will be up online in the archive. Not on YouTube so much, but on our 2600.com website. Kyle's looking into settings on the program here. Rob Gila, let's babble away about something. We're going to be distracted from it.
Okay, so first of all, we would like to say welcome to the 25 people who are with us right now, and assuming you can hear us, and to thank Dory for pointing this out, and for Legit Hats and Tim in Connecticut for piping in and saying that this is also an issue. We appreciate all of your participation and understanding and forbearance, and thank you, Jedi83. We're Emmanuel and Kyle are doing the best that they can right now, so we are doing the best that we can by trying to keep you all entertained. Thank you, Bobcat. Yes, we know it's 2024. We can do video now, but
we've been asked not to.
We have good faces for radio, but...
And even if we were doing video, I still think the connectivity issues would be similar. Again, we're trying to work through them right now, but thank you to everyone in the chat who is letting us know of continued issues.
I don't know what the hell is going on here, but I just did a speed test. We pay for a gig, up and down, you know, fiber and all that. We're getting 184 megs up, 263 down. That doesn't sound like a gig to me. So something's up. Something's up. Don't know what it is. But I don't think it's us. I don't think it's our fault. I think it's one of these services we pay a lot of money for that's not working again.
So it's funny, actually, in the building where Gila and I am right now, we have also noticed we have YouTube muted so we can speak on Skype, but we are watching the image, and every so often the image is getting the loading icon in the middle of it. So we're not hearing dropouts because we're not listening, but we are seeing dropouts in the still image of the video, which is fascinating, actually, to think about.
Well, would that be on your side? Is that you receiving? Because we're not broadcasting any video, so if you're getting a little circle or whatever there, I don't see how that could be on our end.
All right,
that's showing like dropping in and out. So,
and apparently there was just a big dropout. I don't know if it was
that was
us.
Intentional.
That was intentional. You intentionally.
I'm trying to talk about it.
Oh
yes.
Yeah, let's hear what
y'all are doing. A great job narrating. I restarted it once, so there is a big gap. I'm sorry.
All right.
There was an encoding overload error in OBS, which is the program we use. But
what's it doing?
I restarted it. Encoding overload seems to be working better.
All right. Well, listeners, tell us. But that doesn't solve our speed issue.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. The software we use kind of works. Like it's not usually that. It does sound like we have no bandwidth. So yeah, like we're pretending to do this.
Wow.
It looks better now. I don't know if we can if we're just going to sit here and do speed tests all night.
I'm going to do another speed test. So maybe
people can call in and report how their night's going.
Well, yeah, you want to add a phone line into all this? We'll see what happens there. The whole thing's
going to
fall
apart. Well, I just feel like we're going to dwell on it, and it's going to turn into how we end the show. But
we have less speed now. It's under 100. Okay, now it's above 100. But still, this sucks. This is terrible.
I'm not restarting it again.
Don't restart it.
It's not my problem. Yeah. I'm going to... If it looks like something is falling apart, I'll click something.
But. Wow. Gila, any reports from the Rogues Gallery or whatever you call that?
The folks out there do seem to be indicating that things are going better. And our old friend Bobcat is as chipper as ever.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. So we're better. We're better. People can hear us now.
Things do seem to be going better, yes.
Okay, I'm not going to repeat everything I said, and I don't think anybody else here wants to, so if you want to hear that, grab it from the archive on 2600.com later. Our phone number, 802-321-4225. I don't think we have a phone call, do we, Kyle?
No.
Okay, so that's our phone number, 802-321-HACK. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe this speed issue is something unrelated, but I don't know. It's annoying me.
Okay, I have a thing about data privacy.
Go on.
Because I keep getting text messages from political candidates.
Okay. Yeah, they won't stop. They won't stop.
And it is deeply frustrating because I'm pretty confident I didn't give my phone number when I registered to vote. And... my phone number is, I don't have a local area code. I got my phone before I moved to the New York area. I didn't change it when I got here. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. Also, just to answer a quick couple of questions from the chat. Yes, Overtime is archived. You'll be able to hear everything in beautiful sound shortly. And we're not going to do a video show. It's not going to happen. But thank you for asking.
But don't listen to the archive on YouTube can I say that? Is that legal? Can I say don't listen to YouTube on YouTube? I can't? You're kidding, right? Now, have we reached that stage where I can't say that? I can't. Okay. All right. Apparently I can. People are just kidding around.
You could put a tiny little video in the corner.
Yeah, like don't listen to the archive on YouTube because it'll sound as shitty. And yeah, I can say that on YouTube as what you have been hearing. But we also record the shows locally. And in situations like this, we can upload the better copy for our archives on 2600.com/offthehook. And that's where you can find all of the shows. But it's still better to get the flash drive by supporting WBAI, because have you ever tried to download all of the shows? It takes forever. It really does. So flash drive, you have them all. You can copy them wherever you want. You can broadcast them out the window. You can have them in your car. You can plug the flash drive into your car and drive around the country and not even hear a significant amount of our programs.
Emmanuel, I have a question.
Go ahead, then Kyle.
Does the flash drive include Overtime, or is it just the BAI shows?
It does include Overtime where Overtime exists. Well, that's a stupid thing to say. Obviously, it can't include it where it doesn't exist. But yeah, where
in the
time when we started doing Overtime, I think that was 2021 we started that. Yeah, so those shows are there as well.
I was going to say you could answer the challenge when we first started talking about content ID.
Yes, yes. You know, not only is Overtime on there, but other shows building up to Off the Hook, because when I started at WBAI, I started doing a special Off the Hook late at night. I didn't think of that as a series. And I did other radio shows. One was called The Fifth Corner. I did News of the World, did a bunch of fill-ins, and wherever we had tapes, those are included as well. Oh, we have a phone call. Okay, you can say that, Kyle.
We have a phone call.
All right. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
You already picked up like 2 minutes ago.
I know. Yeah, but you were down on the board, so no matter how loud you scream, I couldn't hear you.
Okay. So first, when you go into Starbucks and they ask your name, what I always say is, Call Me Ishmael.
Oh, that's clever. Do they get it?
And they all laugh because they're all English majors.
You're probably right. Wow. That's good. That's good. You can keep going with that too, you know, all kinds of literary figures.
Yes. But Starbucks is from Moby Dick, so.
Well, I wouldn't advise going in there and saying you're Moby Dick. That might result in you not getting what you want. But, you know, Starbucks is relatively harmless because they literally just write your name down on a cup and that's it. If you use their app, then you're sending information on the app and then they get more information. Again, the store itself, I don't think is doing anything with that other than handing you your cup.
But can you be a weird person on the app?
I don't know. Probably. I mean, I don't use these apps.
Credit card names.
I don't know why you need an app to buy a cup of coffee, but.
Or can you use a gift card or whatever, but like make up whatever profile.
Yeah. Tell me why you wouldn't be able to do that. I mean, it makes perfect sense to just use a fake name.
Well, I use a fake name. I have a real name. I have a fake name.
Uh-huh.
I had a fake name on my landline. And the other day I looked up to see if someone had gotten that number. It has not been recycled after like 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Well, but, okay, it had my fake name on my real landline, which took some doing.
Uh-huh. Okay, good.
I looked up my current primary cell phone number.
Uh-huh.
It had my real name. Okay, there's various websites that you can look up stuff. Okay, so it had my real name with my primary number.
Mm-hmm.
Then I looked up my fake name, and it had my fake numbers. Now, when somebody, some site somewhere, or some person who I don't want to talk to, wanted a phone number for my fake name, I would give them a test number. And in SNETland, any number ending in 0970 would give you a 1 kilohertz turn, a tone.
1 second. SNETland is Southern New England Telephone, for those who don't know.
Used to be, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be.
Gone.
Yeah. Rest in peace. Gone.
So if anybody called it, they'd boop, and then they just think they had accidentally gotten my fax machine or something. But here's the thing. I also used loop numbers, and you can explain what loop numbers are. You know this. There's a low end of the loop and a high end of the loop. So I would say, hey, call the high end of the loop, which ended in 0980. I'll call the low end of the loop, which ended in 0960. And then we'd be connected.
Wow. And the loop lines, yes.
You can just sit there. Okay. So I looked up those numbers, and my fake name is on them. Because somewhere, at some time,
uh-huh.
I used my fake name with the fake numbers. And it's connected to my real name and my real numbers on that website to look stuff up.
That's scary. So, that's scary.
Try to hide, you can't hide.
Well, no, I've had similar things like that. You know, I don't use Facebook. I try to avoid it, but I do play with it sometimes using fake personas. And one of the scariest things to me was using a fake persona where I didn't connect to anything that I was interested in. And I got a friend's suggestion on that fake persona for somebody that I knew. And
yeah, that happened to me too.
That scared the hell out of me.
Another thing that I did was set up a new computer at home, turned on the Wi-Fi, went to Google Maps, and it showed me a picture of my house.
Oh, boy.
Because a Google the photo truck that goes by is sniffing all the MAC addresses
uh-huh.
from your access points.
They're so taking MAC addresses? I didn't know that.
Yeah, because they're fairly unique. You can change it. But I thought of a good way to commit a crime. Was you carry a fake MAC address AP device with you. You can do that easily with the OpenWRT. And you go commit a crime, and it's always going to look like you were at home because you were always connected to that exact thing.
Wow. See, this is what I mean. This is how you have to think. You know, it's not, we're not up to anything.
No, We're screwed.
Well, we're screwed. Yeah, there's no question about that. But still, we can at least try to fight a little bit.
Okay. If you use a bank that allows you to do one-time credit cards, that's a good idea. You can do that. You can put fake names on your credit cards. I've had my fake name on some credit cards.
Uh-huh.
But still, they can trace you back. It's all been connected already. It's far past time.
You know, here's a question for everybody, though. What do you think we should have our real names on? I mean, you know, something that we're not going to dispute. Is it a bank account? Is it...
It has to be your bank account, yes.
It has to be voter registration, right? Voter registration, I would imagine we'd want our real names on there for obvious reasons. Bank accounts, driver's licenses, perhaps. But you don't have to have your physical location on any of those, do you?
Driver's license?
Why do they need to know exactly where you are? You know, as long as they can reach you, that's all that matters.
There's levels. I mean, who's they in all of this? You gotta remind yourself there are different types of scenarios and different criteria for of these precautions.
I had a cop tell me once who was looking at my license after somebody rear-ended me and looking at the address and asked if that's where I currently live. And I said, no, actually, I moved a few months ago. And he told me it's illegal to have a license that doesn't have your existing address. And I'm sorry, I just don't buy that. And if that is the case, then I'm not going to follow that law because, you know, I don't believe in being tracked like that. I don't think that I should have to have papers on me that indicate where I am. That sounds remarkably similar to a lot of regimes that we're trying to avoid becoming.
Now, let me tell you why they do that. You're driving down the road, mm-hmm. you commit an infraction, you zoom away from the police who spotted you. They've got your car registration, and they're not going to chase you because that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. They're going to arrest you at home later.
Wait, they have my license?
You have a car. You're driving your car.
Uh-huh.
So they know who owns it.
Well, that's the registration. So that's car registration. That's not a license. That's different. And I didn't hear that rule applied to car registration. I heard that rule applied to driver's licenses. Because, you know, a car can be registered to a company. It doesn't have to be registered to a person.
Yes, but if they know the company, they can...
Well, of course, they can always find you. But they can always find you. The question is, how quickly can they find you? Do you want to give out all your personal information? You know, should we have our addresses on the side of our cars like trucks do?
I think these rhetorical questions are too forgiving, E, because at the same time, like, you got to remind the caller and everybody that these are precautions so that this information, when it falls into, mm-hmm. because the stories we're talking about is how this is breached, how this is put made portable and you don't necessarily know who might have it, that this is to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that is your level. Like, you really, there should be a case made if there is one. Otherwise, you should be able to say, as I pointed out, whatever level you're comfortable with,
right.
Whatever works in your situation. But it shouldn't be the opposite where you're having to prove what fits some criteria in a perceived authority's head. Because the way the data is being handled and used in the modern age, I mean, perhaps it was as careless when it was on paper records,
mm-hmm.
but at least it was slower. And this
right, exactly, it's slower.
Being so forthcoming, it just makes you more vulnerable if a bad actor does get good information.
When a bad actor gets
it. Yeah, so the perceived authorities, I think, need to really build a case if they're trying to make you abide by anything remotely like what you're cautioning and asking. They're valid questions because those are the questions people every single day in every mm-hmm. regard should be asking when someone tries to get them to be ever so honest all
Listen,
the time.
You know? You know, if a cop asks me where I live, you know, more than just what state or what neighborhood or whatever for my address is none of your damn business because they have no right to know that unless they're serving court documents or something. I don't have to tell them my actual address. I don't know when that became something we assumed we had to do.
If you ran a red light, you do.
Well, I'll just make something up then, and they can prove that I'm lying. I've never been told this. This is something that we've enjoyed in this country, is the right to our individual existence without having to document our whereabouts constantly.
No, you're driving a car, which is not a right, it's a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a license, which is a license. And if you look at the back of your driver's license, mine says, address change, notify DMV, within 24 hours, use label or permanent marker below.
24 hours? Wow.
Yes. They will send you a sticker to put on the back of your driver's license.
This is incredible. I must have missed an update, because it didn't used to be like this. It did not used to be like this.
How many times have we heard that, they chased this guy down and they shot him? They could have just let him go and caught him.
Plenty
later.
Of times. They shoot him all the time. Wait, what are you talking about?
Maybe they shouldn't be doing that. I'm looking at my license now, by the way, which is a New York State license, and I'm not seeing anything similar to that. In fact, the back of my license only has some numbers and doesn't say anything.
Well, there probably is some variability.
Right?
There's a checkbox for making an anatomical gift. Is that what that says, Kyle? It's really tiny print and very, very dim. What does that say?
Mine has a heart with a donor thing under it.
You can't read it either, can you?
On the back of your card?
Do we need a magnifying glass? What do you got?
It says, I hereby make an anatomical gift.
That's a ridiculous thing to put on the back of a license.
And yours is checked, and my left foot. No.
There's a checkbox, and I know from the material of this license that no pen is going to stick to that. But there's nothing here about the address having to be correct. And when you look at the address, boy, it's so woefully wrong. But the point is, if you needed to get a hold of me, it would reach me. It would get to me. And that's what matters, not that you have to account for your whereabouts. Gila, you had something to say. Go ahead.
I pulled out my license as well.
Uh-huh.
In the box under, I wish to make an anatomical gift, yeah, which is weird because I'm already an organ donor.
Uh-huh.
Says, enter address change. You must notify DMV within 10 days.
Wait, you have a New York State license? Do you?
I do.
Okay, well, I do too. And why does mine not say that? Ow.
I'm sure it does. It's just Taylor. So on the back where the two boxes are.
Hang on. Kyle's looking at this and he's got laser eyes. So if it's there, he'll find it. But
yeah, at the bottom.
Is it there at the bottom? Wait, where? Where is it written?
The second.
The top says, I hereby make an anatomical gift, and then the space for your signature. And then the box underneath that says, enter address change. You must notify DMV within 10 days.
Okay, it doesn't say that much. It does not say that. There's no way it says that.
Slow down. It does say that.
Where?
But
again, see the letters.
What is this world where we're reading that as some sort of insistence that we volunteer? Again, that's not the question we're really asking. You say what you say. If it changes, yeah, tell them in 10 days. But we might be reading between it in favor of relinquishing that privacy.
You know, I'm doing the thing I do in restaurants where I can't read the menu. I'm taking a picture of it and then zooming in. And you're right. It's so vague that even blown up, it's hard to read. It does say enter address. Hang on. Change. First of all, I don't know how I would be able to fit it in that tiny little box in the back. And then I'm going to take your word. Within 10 days. Well, you know, I keep all my old licenses, and I'll bet that it doesn't say that in the past. But I'm going to look into it. I still am not going to do it. So good luck.
Yeah, that gets back to, I think, the crux of it.
Uh-huh.
Is how cooperative do we need to be?
Yeah.
When your privacy is at stake.
Rob, go ahead.
Just to address what the caller was saying about driving being a privilege and this being connected to that privilege, I want to point out that my New York State ID card is not a driver's license because I do not drive. This is just a state-issued ID, which also says the same thing. You must notify DMV within 10 days.
Wait a minute. Hold on one goddamn second here. I'm sorry. But you're telling me, Rob, that you don't even drive a car and the state is telling you, you have to notify them within 10 days if you move, even though you don't even have a driver's license. I'm sorry, that's some bullshit. Yeah, I mean it. I'll sit down now.
Just never move. You can change your address to homeless.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, okay. Unhoused. But first of all, I want to thank you for getting me all riled up about this and also for educating me about what is said in very dim, tiny print on the back of licenses. Kyle, I'm curious what a Washington license might say.
I have more on licenses, by the way. So is there a barcode on the back of your license?
Sorry, say again, what?
A barcode of some kind.
Is there a barcode of some kind? I don't know. I put my license away.
Is there a back strike?
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Okay, it's got all the information that's on the front of the card, in the mag stripe, and on the barcodes.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, if you go to a bar and they say, let me see your ID, so they can prove you're over 21, even though you're 64, and they scan it, they have your home address and all the other information that's on that card.
Okay.
And a girl was murdered because she was stalked by a bouncer about 20 years ago. Furthermore, the last time I had my picture taken for my driver's license, they told me to take off my eyeglasses.
Oh, wow. I don't think you're supposed to do that.
Why? They did that because they're doing biometric matching.
Oh.
So they've got my picture on it, then there's a little faded picture off to the side, and all of my information, and then it's all on the barcode on the back.
Uh-huh.
And I just renewed online because I was up to the 5-year limit, and the only thing I could change, I couldn't change my address, couldn't change my name, I had to like submit forms for that, so I changed my height. That's the only thing I could change, so I'm 0 feet and 0 inches tall.
Wow.
And my eyes are still brown.
Interesting. Well, thanks for the call, and thanks for the discussion. And one more thing, quick one. Yes.
Kyle registered bodacious-tatas.com.
Sorry?
He's still on a parking page. Didn't he?
What?
I think that might have been Alex.
That was Alex.
I've not registered any domains like any domains, or certainly nothing like that.
Yeah.
Okay. There's
I remember the conversation, though.
There's 50 articles in New York Times and a bunch of other things about it back 20 years ago when they did the WIPO thing to take down the site.
Uh-huh.
So that would be great if you could like just put up a list of those articles to laugh at the Tata group. And it's funny that he used a Gandhi.net to register the name. Because it was an Indian company that did the takedown.
Well, we'll have to ask him about that if he shows his face.
He didn't stick with us. I'm really sorry, because you could have talked to him about that, and I'm sure he would have had a laugh and enjoyed the conversation.
If anyone is in Austin, he's on the highest rooftop. track him down there and say we want to have a word. We're going to say goodbye to you, and we're going to say go ahead, Gila, with what...
You're going to say hi to Rebel. Okay, bye.
Oh, God. Thank you. Go ahead, Gila.
So, first of all, just wanted to throw out there that I was curious if Alex was on the highest rooftop in Austin or the Hyatt rooftop in Austin. I honestly wasn't.
Oh, that's a good point.
See? Okay,
because
so. Because
it said Hyatt's, and it could have sounded like highest.
Any number of things could have happened.
Hyatt with a lisp, is that what you're saying?
No, Hyatt's possessive, like their rooftop.
He just makes things difficult for us, doesn't he?
Okay, so in Pennsylvania, you have 15 days to update your license, and apparently in Connecticut, you have 24 hours to update your address.
Am I the only one to see something wrong? Look, I'm not saying that I have a completely fake address. I'm saying it's not... I'm giving out too much information. It'll get to me. Let's put it that way. But there's no reason on earth I have to tell a cop, yeah, I live in that house, in that apartment. Not doing that. I will not do that.
Well, I think Alex would point out, in the cop scenario, you don't even necessarily need to speak other than to say, am I free to go?
Exactly.
I mean, that's, you're right as well.
Uh-huh.
So speaking... you know, further details. And this goes far beyond this one credential. There are many other avenues that this applies to. No, simple as a line for coffee.
Yeah, but this is what I was trying to say before. We've just become too permissive in allowing our data to be shared, you know, and just giving it to whoever asks for it without questioning, do you need it? Why do you think you need it? And it's my decision in the end what I do with it. Period. Go ahead, Gila.
Another listener says, I'm coming into this late, but I just turned 40. My ID has the same picture from when I was 16. Several letters updating, and I just throw them away. It doesn't expire for another 15 plus years.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, passports, they don't have your address. They have information on them for sure. They know what area you registered your passport in, but that's, you know, that's more reasonable, I think. All right, 802.
Well, it's not on.
I'm sorry, just give me a phone number. 802-321-4225. Sorry. Go ahead, Gila.
I mean, they have your address. They have to send it to you.
Yeah, they have that. Exactly. That's my point. They can get to me if they need to. I don't have to advertise it to everybody who looks at it.
It's precisely the point. And they, because it is a identification method that will be widely circulated, mm-hmm. presumably with your travel around the world, handled by many people, many different societies that may view or seek more or less information about travelers. So they're protecting you. That's exactly why they put enough information for you to cross those borders, but not every little detail about how you can be specifically located or contacted and the like. So it's a great example to take note of and realize that that's exactly what you should take to as many scenarios as you're presented with in your everyday life, that some information people do need, but not all of it, not all the time, and not just because you're asked. And it'll make you, I think, a better filter for the ways information is sought after and used in everyday life. And just as we should increase the cost of our attention span, mm-hmm. we should increase the cost of our personal information to who's asking. They should be challenged more. They should, you know, they should have to more than just the expectation of an answer,
right,
to back up their right to that info.
You know who's an expert on this kind of thing, bypassing systems like this? Kids, teenagers, fake IDs. You know, but they're getting them just because they want to bypass alcohol laws. They want to drink. Okay, you know, I think the motive is questionable, but the intent is honorable. Basically, you want to not have to show who you really are to anybody who is looking. And I think, you know, if we had that mentality, without it being for an ulterior purpose, such as, you know, bypassing a particular law, the only purpose we have is to keep private information private, period. And that's something I think if we pulled our brains and thought about this some more, we come up with a lot of plans, a lot of ways of doing this.
I think that's already occurring. Maybe a more apt example would be to use certain social media sites that have minimum age limits to join and mm-hmm. participate in an app or something. There's a huge movement towards that from a regulatory side. And so people in that demographic are probably employing similar tactics, not for alcohol, but rather for these, for the sense of community, at least, that's being offered by these large media companies.
I would like to ask everybody listening tomorrow, Thursday, throughout the day, whenever anybody asks you or any form on the internet or just anything, anywhere, asks for your name, consider giving a different name. Consider giving different information, not for fraud, but just because they don't have to know. And see how far you're able to get. See if you're able to pull it off. See if you're able to order food at a restaurant without giving your real name. See if you're able to open an account somewhere, you know, an innocent account at a store or a website or a social media, something like that, and use a different name. and don't tie it to your real accounts or anything like that. Make a new account where you can receive email to quote unquote verify that you're real. Well, you know, reality, it's in the eye of the beholder. So let's define our own reality. I'm sounding like a guru now. So should we take a phone call? We have a phone call?
Yeah, please. Right. There's a call.
I didn't expect to get into this whole thing, but good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime, and please turn down your device.
Yeah, no, I'm just driving. I just wanted to make a quick comment. The guy who called in earlier, he said the barcodes behind that driver's license have all your info.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought that was just fascinating because I never knew that's what it was. I've seen that all the time. I never thought about it.
You knew it had to be something, right? It seems like that's what they would do.
But that's just amazing. That just blew my mind. So if you could just scan it and everything just pops up, that's just amazing. I don't think too many people know this.
Well, I think a lot of people will be scanning it now and see what's on there.
Yeah, I know. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. I'm driving. I just wanted to say that.
You're driving and listening to YouTube at the same time. That's you know.
Yes.
Not the kind of thing we get usually, but.
Actually, I've heard I think it's a predominant thing. Like, people stream a lot of audio in the car. I was talking to a friend, and they were asking me like if I use streaming audio. I don't know if the caller has an opinion about it, but I think a lot of people are kind of going away from FM, which we don't like to hear. We like when people scan around, especially listening to WBAI.
Well, we're not on FM right now. We're on YouTube, so that's why
But this is a great way to connect up with the show if you have that option while you're listening to one program. You just switch, and if you're in a vehicle.
We're the safest channel on YouTube because we don't have any video. You should not watch video while you're driving, so we're the only one that you can really go to.
I listen more to the YouTube show than I actually do the radio show. I just tune in at around this time for the YouTube show.
Is it because we can use salty language, or we have more phone calls?
Yeah, it's more fun. Everybody you just say whatever.
We're chill. Yeah, very 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 relaxed here. Whatever. Okay. Well, have you said everything you want to say?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, thanks.
May I ask where you're driving? Like, what area are you driving in?
Long Island.
Oh, cool.
Heading to Riverhead.
Wow, be careful. We have some of the most dangerous roads in the country.
Enjoy your drive.
I know.
Yes, be careful out there. All right.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for calling. That's cool. We don't get many people in their cars calling us while we're on YouTube.
You forget people are able to do that.
Yeah.
Because the bandwidth, the cellular situation has evolved so much that, of course... Without FM, there are ways to get audio in a vehicle.
You know, speaking of phones in cars, though, I use Bluetooth, and my phone rang yesterday. It didn't go to voicemail. I don't know what was going on there. Has anybody ever had this happen where, you know, you expect your phone, because I wasn't going to pick up. That's another thing. You don't have to pick up the phone every time it rings. You know, I decided I'm not going to, I could talk to this person. They want to talk to me, but, you know, I'm busy doing something else right now. I'll talk to them when it's convenient for me. That's not rude. That's just looking out for your interests, like we all should be doing. So I said, not going to pick this up. I'll deal with it later. But my phone had a different idea. It must have rung about 30 times. I could not believe it wasn't going to voicemail. It just kept ringing. And I was like, nope, I'm not going to do it. I don't care what you do. I'm not going to pick up the damn phone. And I don't know technically what happened there, how it didn't go to voicemail, but it sure didn't.
At what point, I think you were in an area that didn't have service and it was still ringing.
How is that possible? If I don't have service, how can the phone ring? Wow.
You have a call now.
We have a call. Okay. Good evening. You're on Off the Go for Time. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Jedi83.
It sounds like you're driving, too.
I am, actually. I'm
At work. Okay.
Driving, I just looked at my driver's license. In Florida, we have 30 days.
30.
I feel like I fell asleep, on duty here, and this happened without me realizing it. I am going to dig through my old papers and find my old licenses and see if that's always been there or if it's been something new.
I think I have an expired one I can look at.
Interesting.
I don't have it on me, though.
Yeah. I'm also curious what people in other countries have. I mean, it's probably more draconian in some places.
And how do you feel about being forthcoming with that kind of info?
I'm not forthcoming about it at all. Any other thoughts, caller?
Actually, I had a question. You were saying that you you've got a lot of documents that you use a manual instead of your other name on. I was wondering how you actually did that, because I don't usually use my actual real name.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I like to put it on, like, elsewhere. And I was just curious what you've done.
Well, I mean, there are some things like, tax forms. You don't use fake names on tax forms. When you're registering to vote, obviously, you use your real information there. You know, official things like that. But, okay, so let's say you sign up for a credit card. There's a credit check, so you have to be a real person, but you can still get additional credit cards in different names, and that's completely legal as well. So those are people that are your friends or relatives. They don't do credit checks on them. You can give them whatever name you wanted. And as long as there's no fraud involved, as long as the bill gets paid, you can walk around and use that credit card. No problems. Of course, if you listen to some of these older shows, you'll know that I did have some issues crossing the border a couple of times where I had all these credit cards with different names on them, and they didn't understand why that was something that I wanted to do. Some of them were quite quite nice. I had
renowned.
I had band members from Pink Floyd. I had their names on credit cards. That's, you know, it depends what your motives are. And if your motives are honest, it shouldn't be an issue. It really shouldn't be. I've had cell phones registered under different names. They seem to have really cracked down with cell phones, though, where now they demand your Social Security number. Why in God's name do you need a Social Security number to get a phone? That makes no sense to me. They don't have my SSN for sure, but that's because I've had a phone for much longer than they've had the regulation.
There are certain sub-brands like prepaid and yes. other carriers that are maybe linked to a larger phone carrier that you can do monthly billing if you're lucky. That's a fun one.
Uh-huh.
And you can even find ways to pay for them outside, let's say beyond your borders. So there's tricks you can do that way with communications carriers and different subscription services like that, but specifically like prepaid and different sorts of accommodations for billing.
But many times
that helps that.
You wind up paying a premium for that, and you shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to be penalized because you just want to keep your privacy.
Cool, I appreciate it.
Sure, no problem. Is that it?
Yep.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Take care. I think we have time for a couple more. A lot of people out there. 802-321-4225 is our telephone number. It's Off the Hook Overtime. Gila, looks like you have something to say.
I do. I just want to remind everybody who's listening that we're always happy to hear from you. And even if, especially if you've never called in, we'd really love to hear from you. We had someone in the chat say they want to call but get cold feet. We're very friendly. We'd love to hear from you. Don't be afraid to call us. Thank you.
Yeah, new people, new topics, new ideas. We're totally open and not judgmental. We understand it is kind of scary to reach out. I don't know if we usually say it's just radio, right? Like this is just a stream, just the internet.
Yeah, it's just the internet.
Yeah, just if it helps, you could write things down. Don't forget to breathe. And don't have loud, like heavy machinery running in the background. And
yeah,
that should set you up. Maybe have a glass of water. That helps too.
Yeah, but don't be drinking on the air.
Drinking.
Well, any drinking, because it just sounds bad.
But stay hydrated. Yeah.
And we have another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, first of all, a technical report. Let me turn the computer off.
Yes. Have we gotten? Hopefully, it's gotten better.
I've always called you on the toll-free number, and now I was getting a busy signal. You know, hi, this is a busy signal, et cetera, et cetera.
Interesting. A busy signal on the toll-free number. Maybe it expired or something.
Ah, okay. Well, maybe you would want to look into it. But regardless, I got a kick out of the driver's license story, and I have one that goes the opposite way. We're the same age. Don't ask me how I know, but I know.
Okay.
And I have an old green card. The ones that don't expire. So every time I cross the border, well, not every time, you know, when I get a young prick who gets into his head that he's going to get me to get a new green card, you know, and then we get into a back and forth, and I say, why should I want to give $1,500 every 10 years to the government when this one is absolutely free, it doesn't expire? Oh, but it's an old one and security. So lo and behold, they sent me to what I call the burqa and turban room.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. Been in that room many times, many times.
Yes, but one time I was with a very Aryan East German girlfriend, as tall as me, I'm 6 feet tall, and we found a friendly guy. We were coming back. You know, this was during the Trump Islamophobia scare, so... The guy told me, you know why they send you to that room? I said, no, because the system is so old, they don't know what the numbers on the back of the card mean. They can't read it anymore. They don't know, you know, other than your face when you were 20 years old and your fingerprint, there is nothing else that they can make. And, of course, your alien number. But that's, you know, I got a kick out of that.
Now, is it that they can't physically read the numbers, or they just don't know what they mean?
They don't know what they mean anymore. They can read them because they're, you know, they're in Arabic script.
Okay.
Like all the numbers, yeah.
Well, shouldn't they keep track of what their own numbers mean?
I know that your tax dollars at work.
Wow.
Another case of, you know, forget the old system, we'll just get a new system.
You know what I would suggest? I don't, this is a long shot, but it might be worth it. Contact your local senator, representative, even go to their office in D.C. They're open, they'll talk to you, and say, can you write me a letter addressed to people that keep asking me to get a new green card because, you know, I have this one, it's valid, and I'd like to keep it, and I'll bet you'll get something.
That's very interesting. I never thought of that tackle because I know these people personally. I'm in local politics, meaning, you know, activism. So I have met them. But, yeah, I never thought of asking them for that. It would be interesting to just have a conversation on the topic.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You for the suggestion.
Absolutely.
Simple request.
Yeah. And there's probably other people experiencing the same thing that, you know, aren't as educated as you are. So...
The last time I really had a kick, because it was last December, I was coming back from my brother's funeral, and I really needed the nap, because I had been to Italy and back in 48 hours. I left on Monday night, Tuesday, I landed, Wednesday was the funeral, Thursday, this was all before Christmas.
I see.
And Thursday morning, I was back on a plane. So I hadn't literally had the time to close my eyes. So they sent me to the room. I just relax and I go to sleep. And then I hear my name being called. And this, you know, tough elderly woman goes, you're free to go. Hand the pass to the outside. And then I realized what it was because I forgot. And the guy says, where is your pass? So they won't let you outside the room if you don't give them the pass.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah.
Well, I thought I'd share that story.
Uh-huh.
Well, keep up the good work. It's always interesting to hear you guys, and I'll let someone else talk if there is anybody else who wants to say something.
Okay, well, thanks for your call, and best of luck
My
with your travels.
Thank you. All the best.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
I think we have room for one more call. 802-321-4225. Rob Gila, maybe you want to try that toll-free number. Maybe it's expired and can't be used anymore if people are saying they're getting a busy signal. Or maybe it's busy. Maybe somebody else is calling somebody on that. But yeah, we shouldn't give out a number that doesn't work. But 802-321-4225, that number does work. We've been proving it all night.
We will definitely look into that. It's not our toll-free number. A friend of the show set it up for us. So it is possible that it expired without us, without us knowing.
Yeah, these things happen. They definitely do.
Mm-hmm. That's happened. But yeah, this is all very interesting. I loved hearing that. That green card.
It's ringing. Wait, let's pick up and see if it's him.
Me.
All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know this is getting way too meta.
Oh boy, it is you. So the number still works. Okay. Wow.
Okay, I'm going to hang up now.
All right. We could have had a lot more fun with this, but okay, fine.
Thanks for calling.
Bye. See, that caller just didn't seem to have something to say, you know? It's like they never used a telephone before, you know? I don't know. It takes all types. 802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK. We have time for one more call. And if we don't get it in the next minute or so, then there'll be no more calls. That's not nasty, right? That's fair.
Tell us about something.
Yeah.
While we're waiting, I'll just remind folks once again, check out give2wbai.org or call, what's the pledge number? 212.
I can't remember. 212-209-2950. Yeah.
And help out where you can to keep us at Off the Hook and at WBAI and at Pacifica doing what we do.
What were you going to say, Kyle?
Tell us about something. Tell us on the topic of new callers, new ideas, new experiences, what people might be seeing or what on the horizon of modern technology and high technology, low expectations, all of it. We want to hear what you have to say.
You know what? We totally forgot to even mention is HOPE, our hacker conference that we've been going crazy organizing. July 12th through 14th, just about 5 weeks away. We have a whole bunch of speakers listed on our website right now. And guess what? That's not even all of them. There's a lot more coming that we're still in the process of verifying and coordinating. Schedule is being worked on, and we're going to have a final schedule really soon. We also have a whole bunch of workshops that are happening. And again, that's not the full listing. That's just partial. We have all kinds of activities scheduled. We have villages. And, tomorrow is the deadline for St. John's housing registration. So go to the hope.net website, check out the link for lodging, and you'll get all the information about that. You might see some dates that are out of whack. Like I was looking at the forum, and it said something about February. But, yeah, some things might not be updated, but your info will get through and you'll be able to register. What else? And of course, tickets. Yes, we definitely need more people to buy tickets because that's how we make the conference happen in the first place. So it's super important that, a bunch of people register for that. We have more speakers than ever. We have more workshops than ever. We have more enthusiasm than ever. So we need more ticket sales to be able to accommodate all of that because it's going to be an awesome conference. Again, July 12th through 14th, full details, hope.net.
And that being said, there is ultimately there's going to be a capacity issue. So
yes,
we're definitely encouraging people to make your plans as these things are being announced and the deadlines for making those reservations come up. We want to make sure people that want to have the opportunity. And that includes getting a ticket and joining the presentation.
And if you can't be at the conference itself, please get a virtual ticket. That way you're supporting the conference. You'll also be able to mingle with other virtual attendees and ask questions of all the talks and things like that. It's really a lot of fun. It's gotten very high recommendations from people who participated that way. Just click on the tickets button on the hope.net website for details. Okay, we have one more phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Speak up, please. You sure somebody's here? Because I don't hear anybody. You might have a bad mouthpiece. You might have a mute button. No, nothing. There's nothing there. Last chance. All right. Please disconnect and see if we get one more phone call in the next minute. Otherwise, we're going to call it a night because we're past our time. And again, those of you who heard, I imagine the audio is better now. Rob, Gila, you haven't heard anything, any more complaints about audio?
No, we have not heard any more complaints about audio, but I didn't want to pass along one question from tonight's first caller saying, is there going to be a Cheshire Memorial at Hope? And I know the answer, but I want everybody to know the answer.
Yeah, of course. You know, there's a Cheshire Memorial right now on Hope.net. In fact, there's a memorial to a whole bunch of people we've lost over the years, so we'll definitely put aside time and space for that. It's going to be hard. I gotta say, it's going to be hard not having his presence for the first time in the history of Hope. And you know, it doesn't get any easier. It really doesn't get any easier. Yes, but there's one more thing I wanted to say. I don't know. What was it about Hope? Was it about... doesn't matter. Okay, let's take a phone call.
The memorial or the site? We do have a call.
Yeah, we do have a call, so I'm going to take the call. Maybe I'll remember what I was going to say.
Sure.
Good evening. You're on Off the Cuff Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing? Where are you calling from?
Hi. I'm calling in from Pennsylvania.
Oh, great. So what's on your mind?
I actually had a question about the Hope tickets.
Okay.
Will they still be available, like, at the start of July? Is it for the finance thing?
I don't know if we can extend it that far. I don't know if we can.
And if we hit our cap.
So. The virtual tickets?
Yes. Virtual tickets should be available much longer, let's put it that way. But we do have to have a sense as to how many people we're going to have. We can't, you know, change that number too close to the conference.
Sure, that makes sense. I just wanted to, it's a finance thing, so I just, I wanted to go, and this is the constraints I got. So
yeah,
wanted to check. Thank you.
All right, well, thanks for your support.
Yeah, great show tonight, and the driver's license thing's weird.
Like I've learned that. I learned that tonight.
Different. So,
all right. Well, thanks for your
call. Have a good night. Yeah.
Good night.
Night, everybody.
Hi.
Talk to you again.
You know, and I remember what I was going to say. I was going to finish the sentence I started, which was basically about the audio for the overtime show. People were complaining at the beginning because, and rightfully so, because our audio was something bad was happening to it. And I think we fixed that. And if you want a copy of the show that doesn't have that, go to 2600.com/offthehook. In an hour or two, when it'll be up there. If you want to hear the crappy one, let's go to YouTube, because that's where that one's gonna live. I'm curious if we get flagged for playing the washing machine music. You know, in case the washing machine music got screwed up, I'm going to try and load it again. Yeah, but I closed the window, so I have to get it back.
You did another load.
Yeah.
That's what you...
the third time I played it.
So much laundry.
Yeah, you're probably running the same load.
Oh, it's not dirty laundry that you'll find on this program.
We all know that crap is king.
What the hell? I can't... You know what? I think... Am I in the wrong browser? Why is it that browsers don't label which browser you're in? It's hard to tell which browser you're in sometimes.
Because they all want to be the only browser for you.
Yeah, but, you know, if you don't tell me what browser you are, how am I supposed to know that that's the browser I want? Right? I mean...
The channel's also down on the board.
I can't find this. Hold on a second. I have... this is a problem that I have with my organizational skills. I leave a lot of tabs open. I have over 1,000 tabs open on Firefox on one of my machines. The one I'm looking at right now, I must have at least 100, probably more. On my phone, I've got dozens and dozens of windows. I don't know. I just don't close them. I don't want to close them because I might need them again, but then I can never find them.
I think it's like separation anxiety.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah. You don't want to have to research for information.
Uh-huh.
You want to know it's there. Like, I'm not going to say it's hoarding.
Right, right. okay, I found it. So we're going to close off with this once more. So let's say our goodnights now. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
We're going to see if YouTube flags this, because they have no right to, but they probably will. And we'll see you again next week. Good night. That's not it. You know what happened? It went to the next video by this person. Wow.
That sounds like a totally different appliance.
I don't know what appliance that is. Hold on. How do I find it now? Yeah, I'm seeing other songs by this person, but not that one. Can someone else talk while I'm trying to do this? Because it's really hard.
I already said goodbye.
I know. So did I.
Back in. Now I have to say hi. Yeah. Hi. How's it going?
Bobcat.
suggesting, Bobcat recommended playing Big Audio Dynamite and seeing if we get copyright claimed for that.
Well, I think we would. Why wouldn't we?
I don't make up the comments. I just read them. I don't know.
Fair. You think that's
just
fair.
Just
that's
because
fair.
We like a band, it's not going to register. Of course it's going to register. Okay, I found it. I'm sorry for the lack of coordination here. It's been rough.
Could we upload a theme to the content ID thing and then get paid every time someone plays a reorder tone?
That would be something. We could at least try. I mean, right now we have a phone company truck and nobody else does, not even the phone company. You know, because they've retired that kind of phone company truck and the logos and the stripes and all that. So it's and we have payphone and they don't have payphones anymore. Slowly we're taking over the entire thing and we'll own it all by the time nobody remembers it. All right, here we go. Good night.
Laundry's done.